Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, selected verses, beginning with chapter 15, verse 26. But when the counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me. And you also are witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I do want to read the Pentecost story in brief from Acts chapter 2. Just kind of put us on keel for my brief message today. Hear now God's word from the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others, mocking, said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Again, the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, we sing about the promised land very often, especially in the old hymns. A very few miles from here, you will pass through a community that has a sign saying, Promised Land. Now, I've been there, and that ain't what we're singing about. And I look a little further away to modern Israel and I say the same thing. That can't be what we're singing about. But there is a connection between the Promised Land and Pentecost and the fire that began in Acts 2. You know, in the Jewish calendar, nothing is more important than Passover. That's the sparing of death, the freedom from slavery and bondage in Egypt, and 50 days, it's important, 50 days after that is Pentecost. Now, that is the day of Jewish thanksgiving for the first fruits of the harvest. And also on that day of Pentecost, each year, along with the thanksgiving of the harvest of the first fruits, is recited a particular verse from Deuteronomy 26:3. And you are to say to the priest on that day, if you are an Orthodox Jew, "Today I declare to the Lord God that I have come into the land which the Lord swore to our ancestors." Now, there is an exacting parallel with Jesus' crucifixion and what happened that first Christian Pentecost. You know, Jesus, of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." At Passover, Jesus died on the cross, and then 50 days later, at Pentecost, 120 believers were touched by the Spirit of God as an indication of the great harvest of everlasting life which Jesus had won. The Holy Spirit descended and the church was empowered and born that day. The same day that the worshipers were saying what they always said, "Today I declare to the Lord God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors." The 120 were the first of a vast harvest. And you and I are among that harvest, the first to have God's Holy Spirit with and within. Now this is new territory indeed. This is the Promised Land. Slavery and bondage in Egypt symbolize slavery and bondage to sin. And the Passover symbolized freedom from death through the blood of the Lamb. The new territory equals God within, making us new creatures, a new creation from the inside out. The Promised Land is not a place. It is arriving home with God. Remember, these disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were emphatically ordered by Jesus, "Stay." That's a command that my new dog does not yet understand. Stay. Jesus was saying, "Don't even try to carry on my ministry unless and until and after you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They waited. And on the old traditional Jewish harvest festival called Pentecost, something did happen. They waited in the city 10 days, and I'm sure they prayed and they talked about all that Jesus taught and the miracles and the conflicts with the Pharisees and His resurrection. And I can imagine they were asking, "Now what? I have risked a lot following Jesus. And Jesus was here, and then He was dead, and then He was here again, and then He ascended. Now what? What are we waiting for?" Pentecost answers, "Now what?" For them and for us. From the beginning, Genesis bespeaks God's desire to be in relationship with us. We were made to be in relationship with God. And from the beginning, we cast God out of our hearts and cast ourselves out of God's embrace. The entire Scripture, Old and New Testament, is the story of God wooing us and being exasperated with us and reminding us and warning us what we were made for God and for each other and for love and peace and unity of spirit. Egyptian slavery was a deep symbol and also a tortured reality of the pain of separation from God. And God's leading the children of Israel through the desert as a fire by night tells of our dependence upon God to guide us through this dark world. And the manna that they ate while wandering in the desert was a mere shadow of the true bread from heaven, which is Jesus Christ. He came to feed us in our souls, what we yearn for, and what we need to be healed and to grow in holiness and spiritual health. What we need is a spiritual embrace, not a physical place. We need a spiritual embrace, not a physical place. When Jesus spoke of a new birth and new life and new creation, He was speaking of God's power and God's initiative to take up residence in our hearts and to restore His original dream of who and what we should be. Paul wrote, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And all things have, the old has passed away and everything has become new." Pentecost is more than head knowledge of who Jesus was. It is a second creation, a new breathing of God's Spirit into the particles of dust we are, and a restoration of the consciousness and the ability to live a new life, to live as Jesus lived and to love as Jesus loved. Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem because they were not yet ready, not yet new, not yet empowered, not yet equipped to carry on the kingdom building that Jesus had begun. Pentecost fulfills what Jeremiah longed for when he preached. He was speaking of God and he said, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." And it is also what the prophet Joel predicted. He said, "Afterward, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." God within us is the promised land. God, the Holy Spirit, still wants to live in us, fill us, and fire us up to do what? To live the life of Jesus in this world. And to be restored to God's original plan for us so that we can live before Him with clean hands and a pure heart. If you're not there yet, then today is a good day to begin. Or if you've committed and wandered off, then today is a good day to recommit. You're going to already be at the altar, already discerning the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and sets us free for new life. So today is a good day to begin. The power is for the church as a whole. The purpose of the Spirit is to empower the church for witness. I mean, every individual person has different feelings and experiences of God, but private experience is not the point. The point of God's Holy Spirit indwelling in God's people was and is for the entire church, not some private spiritual party off in a corner. We all are in this thing together. Of course we will be changed. And of course God and our hearts, active and powerful, will change the way we live in the world and the way we live with one another. We know that we need to be changed. And we know all the promised lands that we have sought and that we have bought were empty. If you want that interchange, if you want that peace and ability to love and forgive that Jesus promised, if you want to see yourself as part of something larger and more important than private faith and feelings, then come forward today and actively pray and ask God to enter further into your heart, into your soul, into your life. Ask God to enter past those locked doors that we keep God out of. Ask God, who always has knocked at the door of your heart, to enter all the way in. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." The comfort of the Holy Spirit is real. The peace of the Holy Spirit is real. The courage and the power of the Holy Spirit is real, but the purpose of all of these is to give us a firm foundation from which to witness our faith in the world. This is not our church. This is not our church. It is God's church. We did not start this fire. God did. He led long ago by the pillar of fire through darkness. And God gave the fire at Pentecost. And I know that I cannot by my words alone fire up your faith, but God can. The fire of the Spirit still burns and can melt away the chaff and can thaw out icy cold hearts and make us humans in the image of God the way God intended us to be from the very beginning. And so come forward as I call you for communion in just a few moments. Come forward to the one who made us and become what we were made to be. God's church, God's light, God's fire in the darkness of this world. Amen.